Hi, this is Studio 395, a production of the Department of History at James Madison University. I am Miranda Raven Touchstone, a junior history major. I'm here with Bree Baumstock, a sophomore history major, to discuss her paper called Who Was Really the Bad Guy? Women in World War II. How are you doing today, Bree?
I'm doing great, Miranda. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm doing swell.
Awesome.
All right, so could you give me a basic rundown of your paper?
Yeah, so my paper is about the sexual violence against women in World War II. My basic thesis is about how, although the Axis powers are generally considered the bad guys, I know you can't see my air quotes if you're listening to this, but there are air quotes, the bad guys in World War II, when it came to the treatment of women, the Allied powers did just as many terrible things to women as Axis-powered soldiers.
So, what made you interested in this topic about women in World War II?
So, growing up, learning about World War II and the Holocaust, you always hear about the suffering of civilians, but you never really, you hear a lot about what happens in the concentration camps, and to people in general, but you never really heard about the treatment of women in concentration camps, outside concentration camps. So I knew that it was really underrepresented and never talked about. And so I thought that I should write a paper on it, and then maybe people would know about it.
That sounds like a heavy topic. What was some of the hardest things you had to go through in writing about this?
I think the hardest part of it was to really just sit down and read the primary sources. Because it really was just sitting down and reading testimonies from women who had been raped and sexually assaulted. So I think that was the hardest part, was really just sitting down and reading and trying to not put myself in a headspace where I was, like, thinking about it a lot. Because it is heavy, you know?
Do you have an example of one of the primary sources that stood out to you?
One of the sources I used was from a comfort woman, and she talked about how she wasn't really kidnapped. She was coerced into going to the comfort station with the promise of, like, having a better job. And then when she got there, she realized what she was there for, and she was talking about one of the nights that she was there, like one of the first nights that she was there, and about how a soldier came in drunk and was like, you're gonna do whatever I want you to do. And when she said no, he kicked her and it ripped the skin off of her chest. And she had to go to the infirmary. And then after that, when they sent her back to like her room where the soldiers would come to, even though she was in, like, a chest cast, one of the soldiers kicked her in the cast anyway and broke the cast and rebroke her chest, which is just very, very brutal.
Wow, what country was that in?
That was in Korea. It was a Japanese soldier, but she had been moved to a comfort station in Korea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going off that, which countries actually treated women the best?
So, no country really treated women well. Like, I don't want anyone to think that I'm saying one country was better than the rest.
It was the 1940s?
Yeah. So, women, you know, men didn't look at women quite yet as people in most countries. But I think, while it wasn't, like, a country that treated women the best, men from certain, like, from countries tended not to rape women from their own countries, which is, you know, kind of common sense. And the only instance I found of men from countries raping the women of their own countries is actually in France. So, I guess the French are just bad people. I don't know.
So alternatively, which countries treated women the worst?
So my paper doesn't include every country involved in World War II, and none of the countries involved in World War II, even the ones not included in my paper, treated women terribly. But I think the Japanese were especially brutal. I read this one primary source that I ended up not using in my paper about Japanese soldiers in a town in Korea, and they found an older woman, and, you know, they were doing what the Japanese did during World War II, and they were going around raping women, and they decided that this one particular elderly woman wasn't fit for their liking, and so they brought her into the street in front of, like, a crowd of people and just cut her stomach open. Which is just, yeah, that's just not good. Not good.
That does not sound like a fun time.
No.
So, what was treatment of women like from other women?
So I didn't research that a lot for my topic, but I did see a few primary sources about the treatment of women in concentration camps by female guards, and one of the ones I read, was about how there was one female guard in one of the concentration camps, and she would actually take women that she thought her male counterparts would like, and would actually bring the women to them, and be like, hey, look, I brought you this gift, when really it was a human being.
That's interesting. Speaking of gifts, in your paper you mentioned that the U.S. gave their soldiers 2 condoms a day. That sounds like a lot. Why would they do that?
Yeah, it does sound like a lot. If they were using both condoms a day, then, you know, they were really active, which I feel bad for laughing about. But they gave them 2, obviously, to prevent unwanted pregnancies or diseases, and they gave them to them in mind that they would eventually probably have sex, and it just kind of became this expectation that they use them, and then, of course, that became, you know, male U.S. soldiers finding women. And when they couldn't, they turned to sexual assault.
What about after the war? How was treatment different after World War II?
So, the Japanese officers were convicted of not preventing rape by their soldiers, but the lack of evidence about the sexual assault and rape committed by German soldiers, the lack of the evidence prevented them from being convicted. And since the Allied powers weren't tried during the Nuremberg trials, none of the, you know, Allied power soldiers were held accountable for what they had done to women during the war. And then at the 1949 Geneva Convention, war rape was officially prohibited, and it became international customary law.
Which countries adopted this anti-rape law?
So, since the Geneva Convention was attended by a lot of the NATO countries, and it was passed into customary international law, no one really adopted it. It was kind of just like, hey, you probably shouldn't do this because it makes you terrible and no one will like you and we won't want you to be in NATO anymore.
All right, well, I have one more question for you, and that is, what is something you wish you could have added to your essay if you had more time and resources?
Yeah, so my paper, actually, as awful as it is, didn't include a primary source about France. I, for some reason, struggled a lot to find a primary source about the women in France. So I think if I had more time or better resources, I would have dug deeper to find a primary source about France. But, you know, you work with what you're given.
All right, well, that's all we have time for today. That was Bree Baumstock talking about her paper involving the treatment of women during World War II. And this is Miranda Raven Touchstone signing off of History 395 Studio.